For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, it is time for another patron chat. It's the end of March. How the heck did that happen? But here we are. We've got a bunch of patrons on the call this month, and we are going back over a topic that we've covered in the past, but many of our current patrons were not here to discuss. So we're going to dig in this week about factions and which faction they would choose to be in. And some of them were here for previous discussions about this, and they're changing it up. They're picking different factions. So we're going to hear all sorts of fun justifications. But first of all, I need to welcome everybody. Welcome to Ebony Kitty, Void, Pumpkin, St. Geub, Germinator, Lil Green, Silas Nova, Nessie Moon, and AK Spartan. Welcome, everybody. So glad that you are all here. And I'm not going to make you all do some sort of shout out thing, because that's a little bit, that's just too silly. This is another serious topic this month, and we need to be very serious about everything we're about to discuss. Isn't that right, Ebony Kitty, who's going to go first? Welcome back. How's it going?
Of course it is.
Of course it is. So let's get right into it. In the pre-show, we were talking about all the different factions, and I had an assumption. I assumed that some of the more common or popular factions were going to be chosen a lot, but it turns out that this group is just pulling all sorts of different things from different places, all sorts of other factions that don't get brought up as often. So Ebony Kitty, who are you, like, start us off, who are you gonna join? What faction are you joining?
So the group that I'm joining, a bit controversial just because of how they are, but I choose the Disciples. And it's mostly because that DLC, I actually fell in love with. Just the aspect of being able to join these raider groups. And I work at a haunted house once a year. And I've been there for 10 years. And the aesthetic of the Disciples reminds me so much of my haunted house.
Okay, so... So let me get this right. You worked at a haunted house, and that inspired you to join a raider group because it reminds you of a haunted house.
Yeah. I love horror movies, and I love the raider gangs in Fallout. I personally love doing the, quote, not evil, but evil choices in the Fallout games. Okay. So not choosing like the Enclave to wipe out the whole wasteland, but just sort of almost like Sons of Dane, being free, doing what you want.
Okay, yeah, that tracks. Now, with a lot of these things, we have to put ourselves in the mindset of, like, if I was really there. And there's a distinct difference, at least in my experience, of I want to role play like I'm there because I'm playing a video game and my brain knows that this is a video game, this is not real. And then there's the jump you make where you go, okay, but if I was actually there, would I be able to do that? And most of the time in my case, it's like, no, I would run away from the Deathclaw. I wouldn't stand toe to toe with it and fight it, right? Like if I was actually there. So in the scenario, you're actually there, you're in Nuka World, you've somehow you survived the discovery of Nuka World or whatever, right? And now you're in there and you're like looking at the different factions and you're like, all right, the Disciples are for me. And you go and you try to join them. How does that work out? Do you think in the real world you'd be able to do that? Because it seems kind of dangerous. Seems like they'd probably make you prove yourself to get in.
So I just replayed the DLC for this. You are right, but they were not sadistic to everyone. The war actually non-slave traders in Nuka World, they only were sadistic to people that they specifically targeted, like the other raiders.
Okay, so you feel like you'd be able to convince them not to mess with you too much?
Yeah. Okay. They are these sneaky, stabby ones, and that.
So all you have to do is sneaky stab the person who's like threatening you, like to get in the door, and then be like, "All right, one of us. Sorry, Jim, you're dead now. But like, Ebony Kitty's got your job."
A speech option shows that as long as you can buff up and be just as confident towards them as they are to you, mm-hmm. you'll be fine. It's
and do you feel like you can really do this in real life? You would stab a fool to get into this group?
Theoretically, without putting myself out there?
Well, I mean, you're also not... I mean, you're you, but you're also you yes. who has grown up in the wasteland and had to do probably terrible things to get by and survive anyway.
See, at that point, it's wasteland rules.
Right, right. Yeah, it's not like you just went down to the local grocery store and were like, well, I'll just go stab that guy. Like, no, that's in our own world, that's a psychopath, right? But in the wasteland, when you're both fighting over the last can of, you know, food in the mart, yes. Whatever it is.
It's E or B.
Right, right. So, all right. Well, this is very interesting. Let's open this up. Anybody have any questions for Ebony about the disciples and joining their ranks? Who'd like to chime in? Void, I see you're unmuted.
Sorry, no, I mute
the microphone. I'll look for the light on the microphone. Anybody have questions? Yeah. Who has any questions for Ebony? Anyone? Nobody has any questions. Nobody's challenging you on this. They're like, yeah, that's fine. Just join a raider group. That's cool.
What kind of knife would you use to stab him in the gut?
That's a good one. Yeah, what's your go-to?
My go-to is the... My camera's not working. Oh, well. My go-to is the one found in the quarry, the sacrificial blade.
Ooh. Okay.
Rem's tooth.
Yes. Yes.
St. Jeb has a question, too.
So you're talking about, like, when you talk about the initiation of getting into the gang, like, it's called getting blooded, actually. And I'm just curious, say you didn't have to go through that, like, you didn't. Would you be going forward, though, once you're a member, would you be willing to blood someone else, though? Can you go Oof. Through doing that?
What do you think?
See, without putting myself out there very much, yes, I could.
Okay,
but
I guess we'll take your word for that.
Without putting myself out there.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Theoretically.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you're also living in the wasteland. This is a different scenario. It's a very different kind of life. Pumpkin.
It just sounds like you're trying to join a prison gang.
I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, these are raiders, so it's kind of is, and they all live in one location. They don't really go anywhere. But okay. I mean, it's kind of like that, right? So, okay. I mean,
my main cool. like follow-up question to this really would be, because, like, you know, there's wasteland raiders, but then there's I forget the gang's name. I mean, we just said I'm forgetting it, but like the gang's name, but like, would you even be able really to handle the environment? Would you find it, because it's not just gore bags like you find in raider camps. There are full-on bodies strewing and decorating every single part of their encampment, not to mention the god-awful smell is going to be there, because you're literally in a right. cesspit.
Right.
And then you're more likely constantly going to get constantly sick. And not only that, you're also going to be fighting over basically everything, because you're surrounded by psychopaths who are essentially bred. And bread, the mentality there is to steal whatever you want as long as you don't get caught. If you get caught, you have to fight over it. So you're more than likely to, like, even if you have the most boastful, like, huge ego, like, boastful, most massive ego, and you're able to bluff your way into that without getting bleeded, you're then eventually going to get challenged, because even if you, like, put up a tough front, then you're weaker interior is eventually going to show at one point or another. If you, you know, refuse to murder said child that was just kidnapped by the raiding gang, was brought back to be used as a dummy for people to obviously test their new knives on.
Right.
If you're too squeamish to go through with it, then somebody's going to challenge you, and you're going to get into a fight. So
yeah, you always have to be looking over your back. You're always going to be in a situation where it's going to be stressful, and like you're going to be challenged, and you're going to have to do crazy things in order to just be part of the group. Like those are some good points, Nova. Ebony, do you feel like you're okay with that?
So when I become my character at my haunted house, the sets that we have are movie grade. We are one of the top 10 in Georgia. Mm-hmm. That's the mindset I put myself into.
Yeah, gun to your head though.
Right, right. So in that situation, you're making sure to continue playing that role
One of those things of at that point you become your character and you have to leave your old self behind. You're in the wasteland, so you become that character.
Right, it makes sense. In a situation where it's like starve or do what you need to do, a lot of people are going to do what they need to do. So I totally get it. Well, this is a really interesting one to kick this off with, but we got to get to everybody else too. Thank you, Ebony. Any last thoughts on this?
Don't judge me.
No, nobody's judging you. This is all, we're all just throwing out ideas and having fun with it. So no judgment. All right, let's move on to Void. Void, what faction are you joining?
I'm joining the... I forgot it in the pre-show.
The Minutemen.
The Minutemen?
The Minutemen. Thank you, yeah. Pumpkin.
There you go.
So, yeah, the Minutemen.
Preston's group. You're going to hang out with Preston.
Yes.
He's going to give you new settlements.
I wouldn't hang out with Preston. He's a little annoying. I'd probably hang out more with Sturges.
Okay. So why the Minutemen? What makes you want to join them?
Well, because I'm going to be brutally honest in my point of view. That's probably what the U.S. is going to come down to.
Oh, gosh.
Come soon.
Well, okay, so I don't want to get caught up on this too much, but the idea of like the United States is moving closer and closer to an actual Fallout future is something that does get discussed online pretty regularly. So, okay.
Not so much the Fallout future, so much as like anarchy.
Elements of the Fallout future, which it could include like the system falling apart and all of that. Let's jump over that. I don't want this to be a political discussion, but
let's not.
To get to your point, you would be on the side of trying to do the patriotic thing. That seems to be what you're saying here.
Basically get good people, team up with them and defend them against all costs and rebuild society.
That's a very noble goal. That doesn't sound easy though.
No, it's not, but
it gives you something to live
for. I ain't
got
nothing else to lose.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's a pretty straightforward justification. I don't know if I have too many other questions. Let's open this up. Anybody else have any questions for Void about, I mean, I guess the hardest thing for me is somebody telling you that you got to go help another settlement over and over again, but that's kind of the running joke on this. Silas, what do you want to know?
All I got to say is you don't do good things because they're easy. You do them because you want to. So helping all those people isn't something that you do because, you know, it's just another Tuesday walk in the park. You do it because you truly, at the end of the day, want to help everyone else there.
Right. Yeah. Solid point. Ebony?
How do you feel having to go from basically nothing, like, the Minutemen is a single person or two people more or less at the beginning of Fallout 4.
Yeah, it's a very small group. Do you feel like
So what's your question exactly? Are you asking me if like would I start the Minutemen myself?
I think what he's asking is like what's your idea and your strategy to build the Minutemen back up from basically you two, you and Preston, to an actual faction again?
Or how would you feel about being just that limited and it's just the two of you in this, what seems like an insurmountable task for two people? Like, how do you view that challenge?
it would be a lot of tough decisions thinking over it right now, strictly because it would be take anybody in and cull the herd of anybody who doesn't align with our views.
Right. Yeah. You'd have to recruit. Right. That would be.
Now, I know that sounds bad. I know that sounds very bad. But these views are for the better of the people. That still sounds bad.
That's the exact mentality Enclave uses as well.
Well, here, hold on. You use the word cull, but you can cull the ranks by turning people away rather than murdering them, right? Like, you could be going from settlement to settlement and saying, hey, we're looking for people to help join the cause. And the people who don't want to join for the right reasons, you can just turn them down. You don't have to murder them.
Let me defend that point. People are inherently not good. They're not particularly evil. They're just not good. People tend to flock towards what's easiest. Kind of, I think, what Nova was saying earlier, or I don't remember who was saying something about easiness.
The path of least resistance. I mean, it's a mammalian trait, I think. It's like most animals will go to the simplest path in order to get food, to procreate, whatever. And it's something that's inherent to us as humans as well.
Right. So if I'm offering food, shelter, water, and whatever, people are automatically going to go, oh, cool, I can take advantage of this. But if you don't pull your weight, you're gone.
Gone like murdered or gone like kicked to the curb? Sorry, you can't come back.
Depends on how persistent they are.
I don't know that Preston would murder.
In this world would be culling.
I don't know that Preston would be down with, like, hey, you signed up over the last week. We found out you're a lazy bum and you just want to eat our food. I don't know that Preston would murder them for that. I think he would kick them out and say, go back to your homestead you came from or wherever.
Preston has to find out.
Preston has been dealing with the logs for the past like 5 months. I don't think he's ever going to do something like that. He's been having to deal with Marcy for the entire time.
Yeah.
But you're saying, okay, so your version of this is way more severe.
Yes, because the reason it's more severe is because it's to keep the people who are good safe.
But
does that make sense?
Don't you run into the Batman conundrum of doing the thing that bad people does makes you a bad person? Like, the ends don't always justify the means, right? That is to talk moral philosophy here. That is one of those boundaries that, like, the idea of most good guys in literature or whatever often will not go to the point where they use the ends to justify the means with which they do things. There's a boundary there, right? Like, once you cross a certain boundary, then it doesn't matter what the ends are. You've already gone too far. That's a moral dilemma. This comes up all the time.
At what point is it too far in a wasteland?
Well, that's a subjective question, right? Like, that's the question. So somebody like Preston would probably not murder somebody. That would be a boundary, right? He wouldn't do that just to kick somebody out of the group, but he would murder somebody if they were attacking his settlement, right? Do you see how there's, like, one case it's justified and the other it's not? But you're just saying that line is a little bit further than his line.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Silas, you got a question? Let's do one more question. We got to keep this moving. Silas?
Yeah, I'll just be real quick. With regards to the culling, I think it fits along. If you've watched the TV show Lost in Space, there's a Netflix remake, but there's a character in there called Dr. Smith. And all she does in the show is constantly put the lives of the other survivors in danger. And I think in a situation like that, she's not, necessarily all the time personally endangering individuals, but as a whole group, she is constantly threatening their entire existence. And I think that one is one of those, culling is the proper word for it, to better not just you personally, but as a whole group.
I believe that she's the one that 3D printed the gun when nobody else had the authority to, isn't it?
That's not coaling. That is like self-defense. If she's actively endangering everybody, that'd be self-defense. It's going back to the exact same thing that Tom said before. If somebody's attacking your settlement or stealing your supplies, then that would not be a coal. Right. Then that would just be like a like reactive response to a prompt, essentially.
Right. Yeah. The word coal means to reduce in number. It means to like, yeah, you've got 10 people. We need to cull the group. There's too many people. We need 8. So you remove 2 of them. And you can cull, I'm putting this in quotes, by saying you need to leave, get out, or if in a job situation, you two are fired, see you later, or in a much more desperate wasteland situation, we can't trust you going into out into the wasteland and revealing all of our secrets, now you need to die. Right?
Or to put it more blatant terms, it's a purge.
A purge, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because like coal and purge are synonymous to each other, but one has a much more negative connotation, right, connotation the other one, because coal typically associated with saving the majority at the expense of the minority, while right, purge is trying to keep everyone in power at the expense of opposition. They're the exact same thing, though, but like the way you're using it is I would use purge instead, because that's a little bit more appropriate version, because you're trying to just retain power at basically retain power to create your own, to manifest your own vision at the expense of everybody else who is opposed to you. Well, they may have their own self-interest in mind and it might not align with what you want, because you're looking at the grand picture while they're looking at their own immediate survival. So like the farm down the road, they may not want to turn over their excess produce because they may want to expand their farming operations soon. So they're going to need to use those seeds. They're going to use the seeds, and also they're going to maybe hire more farmhands, so they need that food. Well, if you're insisting that they hand over all that food so you could feed your people, but they're refusing to, and you do it by force, well, then that's because you want to go, like, if you're insisting that they hand over all that food because you need to feed your army in order to go attack the raider settlement down the road, but they're refusing to, though, so then what you do instead, you attack them in order to procure your own their supplies so that you can feed your army. Well, that's going against their self-interest, because all they want to do is survive, but in turn doing that, that's going against what you have, against your ideas. So that would not be a net positive for anybody.
What do you think, Void?
I mean, that sounds about right.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like we could take this all sorts of directions and keep going with it, but we got to keep this moving. So, all right. So you're going what feels to me like a more drastic version of the group than
I know. I did kind of reform it a little, but it's.
But your goal is a noble goal. You're just willing to take very drastic steps in order to get there. We can say it like that. Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Thanks, Void. Let's move on to Pumpkin. Pumpkin King, what faction are you going to join?
Well, I'm choosing the Responders.
Okay. So why the Responders?
I believe that they're they have a very noble cause for the time period that they were in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking 76.
They're called the Responders. Right. They are the fire department, the police department, the medical, and including park rangers. They're from before the war, and they decided to form the group to try and rebuild what they can.
Right, in Appalachia. You're right.
In Appalachia. Right.
So how do you fit into that? Like, what role would you take on? Why that group specifically compared to anybody else?
I feel like I would get into the fire breather stuff.
Yeah.
The fire breathers being a sect of the Responders.
Right. Right.
With, you know, dealing with the Scorched and trying to battle that. That, and I also just like the thought of swinging a fire axe.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe wearing some big old power armor and
yeah. And I like the detail that the game goes into for that group with, you know, like doing the tests and stuff, having like, if you're looking into it, that is actual viable like material that you can use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I mean, that seems like a noble cause. Mm-hmm. Let's open this up. Who has any questions about being a responder in Pumpkin's scenario here? Any questions, any justifications for not doing it? I mean, it seems like one of the more noble groups. It also seems like they've, again, got a big hill to climb because things didn't turn out so great for them.
I know they disappeared for a while, but they come reformed.
Back. They reform. But it just goes to show how difficult that can be. Yeah.
I have a question for you, Pumpkin. Would your goals be just to preserve what has, just preserve what is left, or to would it be to rebuild what had been destroyed?
A little bit of both, really. Because like, you gotta preserve what you've already got, but then you also have to expand on it.
Yeah, but do you really want to rebuild what? Do you really want to try and rebuild the pre-war America?
Yeah, the really scope of this. Let's determine the scope of that question. Yeah. So when you say preserve, Pumpkin, what do you mean you're preserving?
Well, you're kind of like, you have the stuff that you've built already, the how the responders have built. You want to preserve what they've got going and to try to expand on it to try and work with you.
So preserve the organization and the experience of the group and that kind of thing, rather than an entire governmental structure that fell apart.
Yeah, and add on like new knowledge that comes along.
Okay, that makes sense. Good question. All right, Saint, did you have a question?
Correct me if I'm wrong, because it was a long time since I played 76, so maybe this plot point's not relevant anymore. If I remember correctly, the responders had a problem with the Brotherhood kind of pilfering people from the organization, because they were like taking like doctors and other kind of staff like that. How do you keep that from happening? How do you continue to actively recruit people and, I guess, kind of work with or work around like bigger factions like that? Because, I mean, that would be always kind of a fear of mine, is not getting squashed by the Brotherhood when they say, well, we need these people or we need this resource, so take a hike.
That is a good question.
Yeah,
I don't think it's really like much of a plot now with both the factions being in the game. Like,
it's one of those things that I feel like happened before, but maybe isn't happening currently. But there's still potential there, right? Like, I mean, you could even you can broaden this out a little bit and say, you know, any powerful enough group pulling your talent away because they have more to offer is always a dilemma, right? So how do you
issue. That's not something that you can exactly like fix. You can just be like, I think that just depends more on the person than it is the group.
I think, just in my mind, I think part of dealing with that is maintaining as a leader a very, very strong goal, like a reason to be, and instilling that in your group. This is why we exist. This is our reason to be. And if you do leave and go somewhere else, then you're not on board with this anymore. Like, we all agree that this is why we're here.
When it comes to the responders, I feel like they look more of like, oh, they're moving on, they're moving forward. That's their choice.
Right, right. So like defining yourselves as being like, this is who we are, and everyone is on board with that. And so therefore that's why we stick together. Like, having an ideology, I think, keeps people together. So that's a great question. All right. Any last thoughts, Pumpkin? Any other thoughts about responders?
No, I also just like really like the responders. I think they're a really neat group.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right. Let's move on to Saint Jiub. Saint, who are you joining?
So I'm actually going to rehash the one I'd said the last time we had done this particular topic. I'm still going to join the New Canaanites, and I'm still going to, you know, go to Utah and join the Mormons.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about that last time. All right. Any new ideas about that, or do you want to just kind of recap your reasoning?
More or less, I'm just going to continue to recap my same reasoning. More or less, I feel like they kind of serve that same role as a lot of these other more benevolent factions, and the fact that they go out, they help the less fortunate communities, and like, I mean, the extremely less, like the uneducated folks, whether they're tribals or people living in desolate villages, and and teaching them all kinds of things, from agriculture to medicine to also just kind of spreading the good news, spreading their religion, to try and give people some hope in the wasteland. It's something that I think, again, is like significantly missing from a lot of places, whether it's, you know, in the Grand Canyon or it's in the Capital Wasteland or wherever, places we haven't explored yet, which aligns with my personal beliefs. So, yeah, that's why I would go with the New Canaanites.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, hey, that's a solid justification. Let's open this up. Anybody have any questions about that? I mean, this is one of those groups that doesn't come up very often. So I think you could probably ask, in fact, we could ask you a similar question. How do you keep other groups from pulling members from your group away? How do you maintain that?
It's probably the same reason why I'd want to be not just be part of that group, but also born there, is that it's not just an organization that someone joins. It's it's, again, it's a faith and it's also a culture, it's a community. You're, when you're that much a part of it, it goes, in my mind anyway, it goes beyond just joining, you know, the army, like the NCR army or something like that, where I sign on for a little while and then I can leave. It's something that you kind of wholeheartedly have to believe in. I think some other, like, unfortunately, like the other ones I think also kind of fit that are some of the Raider gangs or some of the ones that are more, you know, have, well, that kind of element of like kind of devotion, yeah, to it.
Anything with a strong enough ideology. I mean, that could be the Brotherhood. Yeah. That could be the Enclave. That could be different Raider groups. That could be, mm-hmm, it could be the Institute. It could be the NCR if you truly believe in what the NCR, like, some of the those groups are larger, and so you have less people who are true believers and more people who are just there because it's beneficial to them. But
yes,
as any group happens, as you grow in size, you'll have more people just kind of clinging on, and the small group, mm-hmm, of true believers is kind of at the center. But yeah, I mean, I like that goes back to what we just discussed with Pumpkin. I think keeping people together depends on your goal, your purpose, and everyone truly believing that as a thing and a reason to be there and to continue supporting each other. So that totally makes sense. All right, any other questions? Nova, did you have one?
Yeah, I have one. What would be the main parameter, like, what would be the main parameter that you would pursue as part of the Mormons? Like would you be actually in Salt Lake City, or would you rather be a missionary that is kind of reaching your tendrils out into the wasteland?
I think everybody has to go out and do missionary work. I mean, unless, barring, you know, your, I don't know, some extenuating circumstances, I feel like that would be a part of it. So I definitely would be out there trying to go, you know, wherever they, you know, my leadership would tell me to go, like, hey, we need you to go to Texas and, you know,
go to the pit. Learn the pit. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that, yeah, it might be dangerous, but they probably have a reason specifically, like, oh, we really want you to connect with these people. We want you to teach them agriculture. We want you to learn the languages in that area because it would be good for them and also be beneficial for us.
Mm-hmm. And you're cool with that. You're just like, yep, I'm on board.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's incredibly dangerous, but I mean, it's also, it's part of the life. It's part of the culture. So it's kind of, it's what's required of you.
Yeah, got it. Got it. All right. Well, we got to keep this moving. Any other last thoughts, Saint? If you can find, nope, the button. There you go. There's the mute button. All right, cool, man. All right, let's move on. Germinator, how's it going?
Yeah, not bad. Still kicking, still alive.
Yeah, yeah. What group are you joining?
Ah, I am with the Enclave.
He says, well, as Enclave, he's wearing a Brotherhood shirt. I just wanted to point out.
Yes. That. Yeah. Hey. Hang on.
Wait, and Pumpkin's got an Enclave shirt. Hold on. Wait a minute, everybody's confused. This is... All right, so why the Enclave?
Well, mainly, it's a very structured organization. It's a lot more stable politically and internal conflict-wise.
Right, because any dissent gets murdered, but okay.
Yeah, but if you think about it, the NCR suffers from corruption, from internal strife constantly. Brotherhood is, well, the Brotherhood. They don't take anyone on, and they're slowly dying out because of it, unless you're part of Eld Alliance Brotherhood. And, hey, you get hot food. You get 3 square meals a day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you okay with the, like, fascism part of it?
Yeah, it is what it is. It's the wasteland.
You're like, oh, I guess so. Okay. I mean, that's the biggest problem in my mind is this idea of, like, well, yeah, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right? You got to survive. But yeah, also, but
is it really fascist or is it just dictatorialist?
Those things are very, very close together, and they the reason why I would call them fascist is because of the use of propaganda and the holding up of an ideal in the minds of everybody in order to rally them around that ideal, along with the dictatorshipness, along with the division between the in-group and the out-group. So there are a lot of these fascist qualities that the Enclave has.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
but communists, you could make, as well.
Sure. Now, you can make an argument that, like, yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are you know, diseased. And there are a lot of people out there who are, you know, suffering from FEV and all of these other things. So really, it would be a service to those of us who aren't to put them down so that people don't have to suffer those things anymore. Like, there are justifications for their reasoning. Like, definitely.
Yeah, well, I mean, run some trials on some people that won't get missed, so maybe you can even find a cure eventually down the track.
Possibly. It's that whole ends justify the means thing, right? So, yeah. All right, so Enclave it is. Who has any other questions? Let's open this up. Any other questions about Enclave? I know we don't have a lot of people choosing Enclave this time. Pumpkin?
I mean, all he's doing is following orders. That's all he's doing.
I mean, if you're part of any let's establish this. If you're a part of any faction in the Wasteland, then chances are there will come a time where you are just following orders and you're doing something absolutely atrocious. Like, I think that's kind of par for the course in the Wasteland. That's kind of the nature of things, right? So.
Yep.
I guess it just depends on which terrible things you'd rather be doing, as opposed to which other terrible things you'd rather be doing.
You have a justification for your beliefs, or is it just because they're the almighty Enclave and you want to be part of the American government?
They're the almighty Enclave. And I mean, hey, vertibirds, right?
Vertibirds. They got some cool armor.
Yeah, cool armor, vertibirds, probably trucks as well, knowing the Enclave. Mm-hmm. And as a truck driver, I have to go towards that, you know?
Yeah. All right. Sounds
like a very legitimate reason to me.
Yeah, it's totally legitimate. Any other questions? Did somebody else pop up with a hand or something? No? Okay. Cool. All right. Any last thoughts, German ear?
Not for me.
Okay. Cool, man. All right. Let's move on. Let's go to Lil Green. Lil Green, who are you joining?
Well, the two that I was thinking of were already called upon, so
you can pick the same one, and you can follow up with more justifications.
I think I originally went with the, what was it? The Minutemen. But then I was thinking, oh, wait, what about the responders? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I'd be one to try and help rebuild and help people. And both of those kind of fit that, like, pretty well.
Yeah, they're pretty similar in their goals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, especially just like in the situations, like, I know, like, each one is going to, like, have its trials and tribulations. But I like, as long as like you have like the right people, like it should survive in some amount. And yeah, no, it's just anyone else just feels there's too much gray area, I feel like. So, and that goes for the majority of them.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. If your justification is I'm just doing things to help people.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to make as many of those hard decisions between like, well, is this really helping or is this just helping us and we're hurting other people?
Yeah. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I know, like, in the post-apocalyptic wasteland, you're going to have to worry about, like, yourself more than others. But, like, you need to build up the society again. And there needs to be someone behind that doing it. Mm-hmm. So if I could be a part of, the reestablishment of civilization, why the hell not?
Yeah, yeah. And it takes a certain amount of selflessness in order to establish that. I'm on board with that idea, too. Pumpkin, would you accept Lil Green into your ranks? What do you think?
Yeah.
Technically, when I was trying to do a responders group months ago, Lil Green wasn't a part of it.
Well, I don't know, Lil Green. Sounds like you might not get let in.
No, I'm
yeah, letting, convince I would you let otherwise.
I was going to let you in anyway.
Yeah, no.
Did you make a homemade Krems too?
Yes, I did. It was for a photo shoot.
Wow.
It's wood, I promise.
It's hard to tell on the little camera.
I know.
What section, if you were in the responders, where would you go to?
I probably would do the firefighters. The fire breathers, yeah, because like yeah. I mean, I already have a connection to like firemen, so like I already have knowledge. Like, I might not be a fireman myself, but I've been to a lot of their training. I know I've like, you know, at least on the firefighter side of things. But also, like, you need to be a little bit more courageous to do what they do, I feel like, and not just be like a medic. So
yeah.
And I consider myself to have a little bit more bravery than the next person.
Yeah, and like I said, like I just feel like swinging a fire axe sounds fun.
Oh yeah, no, it does.
We're gonna find out at the end of this episode. Everyone just picked the groups they did because they thought the gear was cool.
Well, and also I look at it this way. So with the fire breathers, you need to have some sort of offensive skills, so like handling weapons, because you're dealing with the Scorch, if I'm not mistaken. So I feel like that would prepare me a little bit more to survive said wasteland.
Okay.
So, because I feel like having either offense or defense is like the number one thing when it comes to surviving in Fallout.
And having other people there to get you back.
Right? So, but so, you know, like, you gotta look out for yourself first.
Yeah. So like when, you know, you're like, oh, let's see what's in this little hole in this cave here, and then all of a sudden a bunch of ghouls come out at you. Pumpkin's got your back, right?
Yeah. So like you gotta be able to protect yourself and those next to you.
Right. Cool, man. All right. Well, that sounds like a good justification. Let's move on. We gotta keep this going. Let's go to Silas. Silas, who are you joining?
I am joining the followers of the Apocalypse.
Another one of those more benevolent groups.
Yes.
I would put them in the same similar category to the last two we were just talking about.
Yes. I feel they fit a little more towards the responders, just because they're doing it more out of selflessness, not out of, I don't want to say desperation, but that's just the word that's coming to mind. And I just think they're one of the very few true good people in the Wasteland. And at a time of how the Wasteland is, it is very rare to come upon. And I know that, you know, they get kind of taken advantage of at times with like the NCR and whatnot, but, or Raider gangs know they have medical supplies, but
yeah.
I view that as, they need it just as much as we do, and if we don't let them have it, then that's, you know, us holding power over them, because at the end of the day they're still people,
right? It's kind of a necessary cost if you're doing things trying to just for the betterment of
others.
Yeah I think that's something a lot of in the real world, that's something a lot of these like benevolent groups deal with, is that people are more likely to take advantage of them. But that's the thing you have to be careful about when you are one of those groups, is knowing that that's the case, and sometimes you just kind of got to be okay with it, because it's better to have a little bit of waste go to people who desperately need it and are willing to steal it from you or whatever, to still then be able to help those who are genuinely in need and not wanting to harm or steal or whatever. So I can see that, like, you got to strike a balance there in order to be the good guy. So that makes sense. All right. Followers of the Apocalypse. Anybody want to ask some questions about that? Any other thoughts on this one? Definitely seems like you're sticking your neck out there a little bit, because they do a lot for other people. All right, St. Jeob's got a question. They're kind of similar in ways to your group.
Absolutely. I guess my other kind of, I guess that would be my question, is I guess how would you deal with those kind of folks who would want to take, because it's very similar. I've seen it not just, you know, in game, but also like in the real world, people take advantage of charitable organizations and things like that.
Yeah.
Where's your line, I guess? How much are you willing to let folks get away with because you just know they're trying to get by? And then how willing are you, or how able are you, to put your foot down and say, no, enough's enough. It's time for you to, you know, time for you to go.
Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most. perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
I think for me, that line would be if they start not just like taking supplies, but taking livestock, taking lives, taking things that aren't necessarily replenishable as well, as easily, I guess, as just some supplies.
What about repeat offenders? Would that be
a thing too? Yeah.
That's kind of sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
What I was thinking specifically of is like there's a quest in New Vegas where I can't remember the names of them, but there were several folks who I believe they were continuously keep coming back to the followers because they keep getting addicted and they keep getting treatment over and over and over again. Or the folks who use their training, like the cons, to learn how to make better drugs. I guess, how do you deal with those folks? Because, I mean, that could be pretty disheartening after a while, seeing your good grace and charity kind of go towards areas.
And part of that, I think, would be with those that are coming back because they're getting addicted. I think it'd be less of a starting to turn them away and more of a, instead of them going to their own vices to quit whatever they're doing, you personally are the ones who are seeing them through it and giving them rehab of sorts with that. And with the great cons, I think that is partially just one of those. Some people's human nature is just, you know, they're truly just looking out for them and their own. And if making better drugs makes them a few more caps in the long run, then that's just what they're going to do. And I don't think turning them away, if you had the power to do it, would ever truly stop them.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, any last thoughts, Silas?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Cool, man. Well, another good one. Let's move on to Nova. Nova, what group are you joining?
Well, I was also going to do the Followers of the Apocalypse, but for a different reason than Silas, though. It's mainly because they take a scientific academic approach to many of the problems that they have in the wasteland. So whereas people like the NCR or the Brotherhood of Steel, they take a forceful peer acquisition approach of we're going to either a is going to be conquest in the NCR's in the NCR's eyes, whether imperialistic, or B is going to be requisitions in the Brotherhood's view, because they don't see anyone being responsible enough to handle technology that had wrought the world to the way that it has become. So rather than that, the Falls of the Apocalypse takes a scientific and academic approach to where they're trying to actually solve the problems by, you know, manufacturing new drugs, you know, not
mm-hmm. research and development
from the world around them to create a better tomorrow, rather than trying to like for the people in allowing them to manifest their own destiny, rather than it being imposed upon them by a imperialistic force or be stripped away from them because they don't believe that it is they're smart enough or see enslaved by the Legion or something like that.
A simple way to pose that dichotomy is authoritative rather than authoritarian.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really like that's why I would prefer to join the Followers of the Apocalypse, also because, well, I'm not a scientist, but I appreciate the scientific method and also what it has brought us. And so I'm not sure what I personally could bring to them other than being knowledgeable about guns. So I suppose I would just probably be a guard at this point, and maybe would be able to tinker with some of their mechanical devices.
Yeah, I bet they would take you on, though. I bet if you could work as a guard, they would allow you to have time studying underneath some of their scientists or doctors or whoever.
Oh, yeah.
Time, you would be more valuable because that's kind of their method is let's teach you about what we're doing. Let's, you know, impose this knowledge. Let's use you to study things that we couldn't because we didn't have enough people, but now we do, you know, that.
Yeah. Because their philosophy is everybody has value. Just a matter of, are you a positive or negative, or do you bring more value than you take away, or do you take away more value than you're adding to the group? Right. And so as long as you're a net positive, they're never going to turn you away. Especially if you're helping. So, if you're just like with what Silas, with the problem that Silas previously posed, or somebody posed it when Silas was being questioned, is there if somebody is constantly returning with the exact same problem because they're not changing their habits? Well, then they're eventually going to have to either get taken turned away because they're just draining resources. Well, if somebody is just adding constantly, they're not going to turn you away. And so that would kind of be where I think I would fit in. Is just I wouldn't be overall extremely useful, but I'm a helping hand, and I know enough about taking small things apart and maintaining guns, and also maintaining some like stripping generators and other mechanical parts mechanical devices for parts while we're out scavenging, and also protecting the actual scientists doing the work, where I could be useful enough to keep around.
Yeah, that you make a good case for yourself. I think that totally tracks. Let's open this up. Who has any questions for Nova? Any questions? Any more followers of the apocalypse questions? I don't see any. I think you've kind of stated your case pretty clearly. I think everybody gets a sense of what you're doing and why. Any last thoughts, Nova?
Also, Arcade Gan's a big reason why I want to join. He's my favorite follower. He's my favorite companion.
Okay, so in this case, it's not the cool gear. It's the cool companion.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, he's an interesting character. It would be cool. Like, there's certain characters and companions where you're like, oh, if I could actually talk to this person in real life, that would be really, really interesting.
It would be, yeah.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, thanks, Nova. Let's move on to Nessie Moon. Nessie, who are you joining?
I initially thought I was going to join the Minutemen. Uh-huh. Because I do enjoy helping people, but then I realized the railroad does the same thing, but it more aligns with how I feel in the present day.
Okay. I mean, I guess the big difference there is being very pro-synth as opposed to very just pro-helping people in the wasteland, right?
I would be both pro-helping people and pro-synth.
Right.
I believe that synths do qualify for personhood.
Interesting. Yeah, I, this is always a fun dilemma. In fact, it's one of the big discussions in like scientific circles is like, what is the nature of consciousness? Can a machine have consciousness? You know, like, is there a soul? Like all of those kinds of questions. So you come down on the side of like, definitely, like at what point do the machines, are they conscious? Like, is it the Gen 3 synths? Is it when they start having like physical, you know, meat bodies? Like, when does that happen, do you think?
I don't believe that you have to look like me, but if you feel like me, you can think for yourself, you feel for yourself, I think that qualifies you as a human. Whether or not you look like me or the people around us, I think that makes you a person.
So in that case, even a intelligence just in a computer terminal would count.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty nice to like the AI I deal with. On a day-to-day basis, I say please and thank you to Siri.
That's good. That's so good. Yeah, you're gonna save all of us from the wrath of the machines one day. All right, interesting. Silas has a question for you. Silas, what do you want to know?
Not necessarily a question, just an addition with the question about a computer. It's the same thing. House is a physical being and is a physical human, though most of his consciousness is through a computer.
Right.
He's still a human. And I think that if his body were to be completely gone, he would still be a human because that's who he believes that he would be.
I absolutely agree with that. I also think I have a set of skills that I can bring the railroad that would be useful. I am pretty handy at just picking things up and learning things as I do it. I'm a welder. I built my own computer. If something is generally just drawn out or shown to me or explained to me, I can do it.
Cool. So you'd hang out with like Tinker Tom and like pick up on all of his knowledge. Cool. Saint Jeb has a question. Saint?
I'll try to think of the way to phrase this the best way I can. Also, because I don't really know how to feel about this. Do you have any fear about the fact that, I mean, even the Gen 3 synths, they still have that hardware inside of them that can't be removed without killing them? I mean, are they, because correct me if I'm wrong, they all have that like passphrase and the Institute knows where they can just be reset and kind of set back to what they were and they can still be controlled. Is that ever kind of a fear? I mean, not just with them, but any of the machines, that they could be turned at any time. It goes both ways for me. Like, I'm sometimes I'd like to help somebody, but at the same time, I'm also afraid of that. I don't know if you have that same anxiety about it.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think that's probably one of my biggest flaws, is I would still help someone at the fact that it could be negative towards myself, because at the end of the day, my biggest motivator is to help other people.
That's a good justification. Yeah, I think that's the main tricky difference between being just meat and being hardware, is that like you could take the consciousness on the hardware, wipe it, or program it differently so that it functions in a very different way. Whereas that's a lot harder to do with me. Like, you could drug somebody up and they would act differently than they normally act. You could also give somebody certain drugs and they'd become more violent, but you wouldn't necessarily change them forever. They would just act while they were on that drug a certain way. You know, like, there's a little bit more, I don't know, longevity in who the person is when they're a physical human than when it's a consciousness on a hard drive that can be messed with, right? To St. Jeb's point. So, like, finding that boundary and determining it seems tricky.
Fair. Yeah. I think I would struggle to find that boundary, honestly. I would just, too empathetic, I would want to help anyways.
Yeah, well, I think that's just kind of the nature, like we talked about with some of these other benevolent groups, is that that's just the risk of being benevolent. It's the that you take that on as a risk. Silas?
Valid.
Oh, sorry, Nessie, did you want to add? Hold on one second. Did you have something else to add to that, Nessie?
I was just saying valid, sorry.
Okay, cool. Just I wanted to make sure I didn't cut you off. All right, Silas?
I think the primary basis towards that fear is not necessarily based around the individual themselves, but the Institute itself, because at the end of the day, the synth themselves is choosing to be with the humans and acting, whereas it's the Institute that's the one who's wiping their memory and causing them to go rogue. It's right, outside right. of the control of the synth entirely.
Right. But then there's always the question of, like, how do you know every one of those synths is legitimately acting on their own and not being programmed by the Institute as like a fake to infiltrate the railroad, right? Like, there's that dilemma.
Trust in human nature.
Yeah. Void? Void has a question.
Here's a good question for you, and it's not Fallout related at all, but you guys brought up the thought of, is the consciousness on a hard drive an actual human? Cyberpunk 2077 okay. has Johnny Silverhand, uh-huh. your like main, like, it starts with a D, but it's kind of like a dirtagonist or whatever the hell, but he is on a chip in your head, right. Is he still technically human?
Right. That is a big question in Cyberpunk, is that once you remove the consciousness from the human brain and put it somewhere else, is it like, just because it acts and looks like it feels and does the things that the human would have done, is it still the same person? Does it actually have consciousness? Does it have a soul? What even is a soul? That's all those questions, right? And Nessie, I think what you're saying is, I don't know, but I'm going to side with the, it seems like it's the case, and so therefore I'm going to side with it because I'd rather just be helpful just in case it is actually conscious and aware and all of that, right? Yeah. Does that?
Yes, essentially the believe just in case this is actually the case, but also, is Nick Valentine still a person at that point, since his memories are from a man who is now long dead?
Yeah, it's tricky stuff. In our own world, people have this dilemma with animals, like, well, animals don't really have the same feelings we do, and it's like, well, if you've spent any time around, say, like, dogs, Do the dogs not have feelings? Like certain mammals, lots of mammals, seem to have feelings in very similar way that humans do. So, yes, you know, but like, can you actually get in the mind of the animal? Well, no, but it seems like they do. It seems like they act like they do. So they probably do. Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma. But hey, we got to keep moving. This episode's going long. So any last thoughts, Nessie?
No, that's about it.
All right. We brought some good discussion. Thanks for sharing that one. Let's go to Spartan. Spartan, who are you joining?
Okay, so I want to say that I think we have an incredible group of really altruistic and good people here.
Oh no, is this going to go another, where are you going with this?
And as I say that, I'm going to keep that in mind and think of all of you as I'm taking all of your stuff with the Gunners.
Okay, all right, so all right, we couldn't be too nice for too long. Okay, why the Gunners?
So I know it kills me that you can't do anything with them in three in terms of working with them outside. You get some McCready stuff, but I've always thought that they're interesting because they're a bit more sophisticated than Raiders. And I don't have any problem with like if Ebony picked the Raider gang. I think that is a decent choice, but like I they're a bit more sophisticated than Raiders. They seem to have more of a power structure that is respected. It's kind of like a more selfish and financially driven version of the Brotherhood to me. They will just come take your stuff. The Brotherhood will do that. They will, you know, they have vertebirds. They have tech. I think that's another thing too, is they have a lot of firepower.
Yeah.
They have some of the most firepower I think you can encounter. They have vertebirds, they have high-tech weapons, they have automatons. They also have a lot of incredibly advantageous locations. Like it seems like they're formidable just in the wasteland because they have a lot of the high rises, they have a lot of the places that are kind of desirable. We know what happened when the Minutemen ran into them down in Quincy. Like, I think in the wasteland, my first thought is who gives me the best chance to survive? And I would take the Brotherhood in that context because of the firepower, but also the Brotherhood, you're doing things on a set of principles that I think can sometimes, like, even look at the show. I mean, with
it depends on who the leader is.
Michael Rapaport, Rapaport's character. Like sometimes you just end up in situations because you're on a mission. Like the whole point of the Gunners is just to make more money to keep being the Gunners.
Well, they're mercenaries. Their one goal is make profit, get paid to do a thing, make profit, right? So,
and also just from a standpoint too, like so in college, I worked as a bouncer for a while. I also did security work at a chemical factory. So like, I'm not unfamiliar with that type of, you know, like
getting paid to smack a fool.
Yeah. Like I can take a punch. And also, like, I've worked jobs that require, like, discipline and firearms and things like that. Not at the bouncing job, but at the chemical security. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think I could also hold my own. I'm not saying I'd be some, you know, alpha badass superstar gunner, you know, gunner commando. But, like, I think I could at least pass, you know, in their ranks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I think they're really well, like they have a very strong foothold. It doesn't really seem like they have many threats. Even when there's random events, when you get further in the Brotherhood quest in 4, where they'll just have Brotherhood patrols, when they attack gunner bases, I see the Brotherhood knights die. I'm not saying that's how that always plays out, but like are instances where they go toe to toe with Brotherhood in game, just at random events. And sure. They hold their own.
Right.
So I don't really think there's like a bigger fish in terms of just raw firepower outside of maybe like the Institute or the Enclave where you're getting there. They have better technology, but they still don't, I don't think they have the gun power or maybe the manpower.
I think with a lot of those groups, it also comes down to like tactics, who had what information, who got the upper hand on the other by, you know, attacking them when they were unaware. You know, like there's a lot of, just because you have good gear doesn't mean you're always going to win. Like you might come across bigger numbers because the other side was more prepared or what. There's a lot of other variables there. Yeah,
that's true. I also think like the Gunners maybe I'm reaching a little bit here, but like MacReady walks freely in Good Neighbor. Also, the two guys that go to hunt him down walk freely in Good Neighbor. So I can imagine that the Gunners at least have the ability to be somewhat diplomatic. Like, they seem to respect Hancock's rules. They seem to be able to play ball. Yeah.
They're mercenaries. If they're not on a job, then no problem. I'm just going to do what I need to do and fit in with society.
Which is kind of why I say they feel a little bit more sophisticated or more organized than like a raider gang.
But that makes sense. All right, cool. Any questions for Spartan? Anybody, like, Gunners don't come up very often. Mercenary work? No questions. Doesn't look like we have any questions for you, Spartan. Well, it seems
I have one.
We got no.
Are you in it for the money or because you think that they're just the best chance for you to survive and thrive?
I would say like 70-30 survival. The money's nice. Like, it would be cool to be able to have, like, because I also think that they, if you have the ability to acquire vertebrates, I would imagine you're not really short on like food, water, medicine. If you have the resources to have that type of firepower from a fighting standpoint, I think you have most of the other stuff covered. Maybe that's an assumption I'm making, but so I think it would be like 70-30 in favor of the security of the might, but also the money is a nice bonus, which would, just why I would go, another reason why I would go with them over somebody like the Brotherhood, because like Maximus isn't like rolling in money. He's just kind of part of the whole machination of the Brotherhood. Like, I feel like in the Gunners, you could be able to make a nice chunk of change for yourself as long as you're also making profit for the organization.
Yeah, to support what you're saying, if you have a faction that can have things like vertebrates, then that means they have high level expensive equipment that then if they ran out of food, they could use to trade for food. They have just more resources, which means that they're less likely to go hungry.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Yeah. Good question, Nova. Yep. All right. Pumpkin, did you have one?
You better hope this isn't the main character doesn't walk in your camp.
Well, and that's kind of my point, though, is like it takes a video game designed protagonist to be a threat to them.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Think of a wasteland where, you know, I know this is probably meta, but like think of a wasteland where each of our individual characters just never exist. Right. I don't know who's taking out the Gunners.
Yeah, and it's a good question. It also goes to your other show, like in Elden Ring. Like, who is the scariest boss in Elden Ring? It's none of the ones you fight. It's because it's you. Because no matter how many times you die, you just keep coming back until you murder everybody, right? Like, the player character is the scariest boss. So, yes, it totally tracks. But it still works for Fallout, too, right? You just reload, you go back, and then finally you murder everybody, if that's what you want to do. All right, Spartan, any last thoughts on this? Spartan, are you there?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know if you meant me or everybody else.
Yeah, Spartan.
No, I was just thinking more. The only thing that I can think of in Fallout 4 that makes short work of a Gunner group outside of the protag is that Deathclaw from the one with the eggs, the questline there. So it takes literally the apex predator of the wasteland to be a threat to these guys.
Yeah. All right. Solid reasoning. That makes sense. Thanks, Spartan. All right. Wasteland Oni. I think you're wrapping this up. Actually, we've got you and then we've got a no fill, no thrill sent in a thing. So we'll listen to that in a minute. But Oni, who are you joining?
Originally, I was going to go with something really boring, but after hearing everyone else, I think I'm going to go with my biased choice, which is the Crater Raiders.
Okay, Crater Raiders, going back to 76. So them as opposed to any other raider group?
Probably because they're a bit more on the not-so-bloodthirsty evil side, because they've split between the three different groups that were originally there. You've got, like, the ones that were a bit more passive as well.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like the same reasoning as Spider, like with the Gunners. I'm thinking of it as a point of who am I going to survive the longest with? And if we're taking out the equation of player characters being around, you've probably got higher chances to survive a group like that because no one's going to mess with you.
Yeah, except for maybe the other raiders in the group.
Yeah, apart from that.
there's a little bit of that goes on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Anybody, let's open this up. Who has thoughts about the creator raiders? They are a little bit more willing to negotiate with you as the player character, and you know,
yeah,
a little bit more tolerant.
Yeah.
All right. I don't see any questions popping up. It looked like Pumpkin was going to ask a question. He's doing the thing where he's, I can tell he's thinking. I can see the gears moving in his head. He's about to click the unmute button. He's coming in. Nope, he doesn't have a question. Okay. So, all right. So why them instead of somebody like Foundation? Because Foundation also seems like they support each other. They support their own. They kind of, I mean, they're obviously not as tough and, you know, I don't know, raidery as the raiders, but they also seem less likely for infighting to happen, which would be nice, more comfortable.
That was my other choice if I wasn't going to go with the raiders, but I'm mostly being biased here because raiders are pretty much my favorite group, but I also, like, if I'm thinking of a, like, you know, real life standpoint, I'm not the toughest person. I'm not, like, I feel like I'd be terrible in the wasteland, so I'll just hang out as a cook or something.
Okay.
I'm not the one raiding.
got it. So you're like, I'll find something I can do around the base. You guys go out and do stuff. I'll hold down the camp. Yeah. All right. That makes sense. All right. Any last thoughts on this? Oni, do you have any other thoughts on this one? Or I don't see any other questions. What do you think?
That's it for me.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks, everybody. Here, let's jump over to No Fill, No Thrill. Let's give this a listen. Hopefully everybody can hear it. And if you guys have any thoughts, you want to chime in, then feel free to unmute and chime in after this plays. It's only about 2 minutes long. Here we go.
So, hello. My favorite faction is a Brotherhood of Steel, and they probably always will be. Just since I played Fallout 1 as a teenage boy in 1997, I just love them. They're the most iconic faction to me and to this day, and they probably will be. So I totally would join the Brotherhood as a scribe, because the Wasteland is pretty dangerous. And I'm not sure if there are a lot of things that are safer as being a scribe in the Brotherhood, sitting in the Lost Hills bunker. I mean, even if the bunker would be attacked, you'd probably be like the last line of defense, and the knights and paladins were like, oh yeah, don't worry. And of course you had some military training and stuff, but I think as a scribe, you'd be rarely in danger compared to the average Wastelander. But Wasteland only suggested the topic, he said which faction would we join based on reason and our real-life skills. So I'm an occupational therapist and I have some training as a medic, so I could see myself as the followers of the apocalypse. This would probably be the more realistic faction I'd end up with, especially since the Brotherhood of Steel, especially the West Coast chapters, when you're not born into them, it's pretty hard to join as an average person, obviously.
All right, that was No Fill, No Thrill. Oops,
hello.
I hit stop, but it actually replayed because it was already done. So we're going to listen to it a second time. So Brotherhood, but then also Followers Apocalypse. Spartan, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of mentioned it a little bit when I was giving mine. The Brotherhood was going to be my second choice, just because of a lot of some of the things. And I think the Brotherhood is interesting because I think the Brotherhood, while you would be very secure, I think they probably demand a lot more of you than like my answer, the Gunners. Like I would, even just from the militaristic nature of the Brotherhood and things like that. I know the Gunners kind of also have that, but it feels much more lax. I mean, from what we've seen in the games with the Brotherhood and the show, like it's not easy coming up as a recruit a lot of times for various reasons. I mean, there's like, you know, the bullying and hazing, which is typical of, you know, military settings sometimes, but also just the training seems very rigorous. But No, I'm glad the Brotherhood got mentioned at least once, because I feel like there's something to be said for one of the only options where you actually have the technology, where you have the ability to take a shower. Right. Like, I know that I say that as a joke, but also, like, in a wasteland, that's a huge luxury. That's like a
Terminator's life. Trying to sell you on the Enclave while you talk about it.
Well,
this.
No, and then the
it's like, we've got showers.
One. The Enclave's another one, and the Institute's the other one. But sure. That's what I mean, though. Like, you've got three options, really. I guess because of everything I said with the vertebrates and the tech, maybe the Gunners have showers, but we don't see that. We never get to that point.
Or but, certain settlements might, but it depends. I mean, the like, if you live in Diamond City, maybe got have a that shower. Down. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's but solid. I'm just glad somebody solid. Mentioned the Brotherhood, because I think that it is a very enticing option. Just for me, I think they probably, it's too strict of a regiment, like what they demand of people. I don't think I would actually, I probably would get kicked out of the Brotherhood. I don't think I would be somebody they would keep around, because it's, I just don't, I wouldn't be able to follow all the restrictions, but I think it's a very interesting option.
Yeah, got it. All right, we've got two more people chiming in here. Silas, what do you think?
Sorry, I had to find it. I do agree that the Brotherhood is a very strong choice with regards to overall safety, because A, they have power armor, and B, they have plot armor. And I think it's one of those things that I don't think the Brotherhood of Steel is ever going away in the Fallout universe. So I think you're pretty safe sticking with them.
Got it. That's a fair point. You know, but if it was a real world thing, they wouldn't have plot armor. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Jiob, what do you think?
No, I'm also just happy that someone had mentioned the Brotherhood. And I think one of the, it's people talk about like the luxuries and the safety and everything that comes with it, but it's not just the training though that you have to be able to, you know, keep up with and demands of the job. Much like, you know, my own particular faction, like it require, they have a belief system, they have a structure, like an ideology that you have to strictly follow. It's not something that I've never found in any characters in any of the games. You can be wishy-washy about how you feel about the Codex or anything else like that. You have to wholeheartedly give yourself to the Brotherhood and this entire idea. So it's not, in my mind, it's not an easy commitment.
Yeah. Anything that requires full commitment is difficult for sure. All right. Well, that was No Fill, No Thrill. Again, thank you for sending that in. Times are different in Europe for these shows, and it's hard to get together. So I appreciate that. Tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break. Then I'll be back. We're going to thank the rest of the patrons, and then we're going to go through everybody who's left. Some people had to leave because this episode's gone a little bit long, but then we'll say our goodbyes. So don't go anywhere.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
I tried to skip the one to get to the next one so I can get to the end. You guys know how that works. Anyway, welcome to our newest patron, Ronald D. Thanks for signing up. Patreon.com/FalloutLoreCast. You can join us for future episodes like this. You can get ad-free episodes. You can get t-shirts and stickers, all sorts of fun things. Head on over there. And I have to shout out Dusty Ray and Germinator for being our sentry bots. Thank you for your support, Germinator. And Dusty couldn't make it this month, but probably be back next month. So don't worry. We found out that Dusty's still alive. So, you know, don't need to worry about that. I'm not worried about that. Don't worry, Dusty. I wasn't worried about your survival. Also, if you want to help out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can rate the show on whatever platform you listen to it on. You can check out the YouTube channel. Just put up a new version of a video. Every so often, I take one of these episodes and turn it into a YouTube video. The one about the history of Diamond City is now up. So go check that out on the Fallout Lorecast YouTube channel. And anything else? Forgetting? Share us with your friends and all of that. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Let's go back through and real quick, just thanks for being here. And if there's some way that you want people to get a hold of you or something you want to throw out into the universe, now's your chance to do it. Ebony Kitty, start us off. You got anything going on?
Obviously, there's the Discord, and then I'm going to look into the Rocket Club thing.
Cool.
I have a really cool idea that I think people would love.
Awesome. We actually just this like last month, we've had two new people sign up for the Rocket Club. And then like the month or two before that, we had two other people sign up. We've had a lot of people signing up for Rocket Club, launch a new podcast. So you'll be in You'll be in a...
I need to figure out how to do that. I wasn't quite sure from the website
thing. So the website, there's like step one, step two, step three at the bottom. Basically, you fill out some forms, you sign up, you pay through PayPal, and then I'll get the notification. And then I'm like, hey, I saw you signed up. Let's set up our first meeting. And then we just kind of go from there.
All right.
So,
but yeah, just I'll be on the Discord.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for being here. All right. Void, what do you got?
I've got a lot, but you don't have time for all of it. So I'm going to make this short and sweet. I'm on the Discord V01D696. Within probably the next month, I will be uploading episode one of my new podcast featuring Pumpkin playing a D&D character who is a tiny little halfling. This 6 foot two man is playing a 2 foot six halfling.
nice.
So... It's one hell of an adventure so far, so yep. I can't wait to get that started.
Right, yeah, and speaking of Rocket Club, we have right here, new show. What's the name of the show so everybody knows?
It is called Dungeons & Dipshits, a live play D&D adventure.
Nice, sounds great. I'm excited. Well, thanks, Void. Pumpkin, what do you got?
Well, I'm Pumpkin. I'm the 2-6 person in the D&D game. You can always find me on the Discord, and my Blue Sky is also on the Discord. So if you're gonna look for my Blue Sky, I'd recommend looking for the Discord because it's a long name, and I don't want to spell it out like I usually do.
Yeah, Oni set up a pack. So those of you on Blue Sky who want to just follow all of us all in one big sweep, there's a pack. There's a Robots Radio pack. So is that what it's called?
Yeah,
I think it's called a pack.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Starter pack, something like that.
That's it, starter pack.
And, of course, I'll be on the Discord after this call, so if you ever want to be, you know, hanging out with me,
there you
just
go.
Shoot me a message.
Yeah, you can talk, like, halfling things. Like, living in a hole in the ground. Thanks, Pumpkin. All right, St. Giub, thanks for joining us again. What do you got?
I got nothing. Thanks for having me. I'm St. Giub on the Discord. Tom, thanks for hosting this like you always do. And you guys go listen to Dungeons and Dipshits.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome.
I'll be on the Discord after this.
I'm so glad that you guys landed on that name. Germinator, it's still the morning where you are.
Yep. Bright and early on a Thursday morning for us here.
You live in the future. I'm
just still doing the usual, still on workers' comp side. Sitting at home most of the time. So if you want to play games, just hit me up on Discord or Steam or Xbox or whatever, and I'll probably join you.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Germinator. Silas, you got anything for us?
So I don't really got anything for us.
All right.
But, you know, as Job said, thanks for hosting. Everyone have a great night or day.
Awesome. Yeah, happy to do it. I'm so glad that you guys keep supporting the show and keep showing up. This is great. Nova, you've got stuff, right?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel, also on the Discord. Eventually, I'll post the YouTube channel. It is Supernova. And I would recommend watching Dungeon Dipshits. I hear it's going to be great.
Sweet. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Thanks, Nova. Spartan? You got stuff too, I'm sure.
Yeah, yes. I am the host of the Elden Archives, the FromSoft lorecast on the network. I'm also the host of Overtuned, which with that one, that was supposed to come out a few weeks ago, but I had an issue. My co-host actually had to step away from podcasting. So if anybody was following that, I was actually talking to Tom about it over the weekend, and I'm relaunching that. I'm going to redo the pilot and everything, and I'm just going to do that myself, but also open things up a lot more to guests. So if anybody is interested and has an animated series that they really want to talk about, hit me up. Because I am looking for guests for that show that I'm going to get relaunched here in the coming weeks.
Very cool. Well, good luck with all that. It's tough. It's tough when you have somebody like you're going to do a thing with them, and all of a sudden they're like, "I can't do it," and you're like, "Ah, crap! I'm going to."
Spartan, I've got a question. You said animated series. Does that include anime?
Yes. Yeah.
That's, oh my God. Yes. I will be a guest on there. I guarantee
it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can. I will. I know this doesn't happen often, so you guys can be excited, but I'm going to be in the Discord hanging out after this. So
oh, hell yeah, buddy.
Yeah. You can like cross promote your shows. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely down for that. We can talk about that for sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Martin. Then we got Wasteland Oni. You're wrapping it up for us.
Hey, yeah, I'm just Wasteland Oni on the Discord and on Blue Sky. I've got tons of other socials. I've actually linked my link tree in my Discord profile, so that makes it easy to find me. And other than that, I've been getting back into Fallout 76 to level up a new character to level 50 to create a ghoul. So
it's ghoul time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. Sorry, what was
that? No worries. It's always fun.
Okay. Cool, cool. Well, thank you, everybody. This was a super fun conversation again. I really do appreciate you continuing to support the show. And I think that's going to do it for this episode. But we'll be back. I'm hoping most of you return next month, and we'll see where that goes. And until then, I'll be back with some more regular episodes over the next few weeks. And we'll see you next time. So stay safe in the wasteland. See you all later. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.